Welcome to Master Your Relationship Mind Drama, teaching you how to manage your mind so that you can create relationships you love. And now, here's your host, certified relationship coach and expert in all things love, friendship, and mind drama, Rebecca Orr.
Hi guys, how is everybody doing? I am very excited this week because doors are open to my group coaching program, Master Your Relationship Mind Drama, and there's already some amazing people signed up, ready to do the work and get started. So I'm so excited. And for those of you that aren't sure what I'm talking about, Master Your Relationship Mind Drama is my 12-week group coaching program where we meet once a week for an hour and a half and we really dive deep into all these tools and concepts. And each and every round, I'm completely blown away by the determination and the transformation my clients make, and just watching them go from feeling really out of control and anxious about their relationships to feeling more secure and grounded and in control of their minds is just such a beautiful thing. And it makes me so grateful to be doing this work and sharing these amazing tools and concepts. So I'll talk a little bit more about the program at the end for those of you that are keen to know more about it. But for now, let's dive into today's topic, which is 7 important lessons that anybody dealing with relationship anxiety needs to learn. And I want you to know that this comes from first-hand experience, from my own battle with relationship anxiety. And so I've had to learn each of these lessons over and over again to finally get to the place that I'm at now. Okay, so here we go. Number one, other people do not create our feelings. And if you're used to listening to this podcast, you will know this one. But most of us are brought up believing other people and the circumstances in our lives create our emotions. So we end up going into relationships with the same frame of thinking, and we end up feeling completely powerless over the way we feel, blaming other people, trying to control things outside of our control, which is incredibly frustrating and anxiety producing. And this was certainly true for me. I believed my partner not texting me back made me feel insecure and anxious. I believed my friends hanging out without me made me feel jealous and bad about myself. I believed my partner being mad at me made me feel shame and guilt. But it was never the circumstance actually creating my emotion. It was always the sentence in my brain, the thoughts that I was having. It was always what I was making it mean about me, about them, or about the relationship, which luckily was totally under my control. So the first most important lesson for anyone wanting to face their relationship anxiety to learn is whatever the situation is in your life, the thing creating your emotion is always a sentence in your brain. And that doesn't mean you are wrong or to blame for feeling negatively. There's nothing wrong or bad about feeling a negative emotion. It's a very normal part of human life, and sometimes we want to feel negatively about the circumstances happening around us. But if you're feeling insecure and anxious, and you don't want to be, really owning the fact that there's a sentence in your brain causing that, that suddenly puts the power back into your hands. It's actually the best news in the world, because while you're believing it's them, that they're creating it, that they need to change to make you feel better, you're stuck, because we can never control that. And in my group coaching program, one of the first things you learn to do is become aware of the sentences in your mind that are actually causing your suffering. And you know, we have around 60,000 thoughts a day, and we are not conscious of a lot of them. A lot of the thoughts we have are totally subconscious. So becoming aware of these thoughts, the troublemakers creating all the problems, is how you get to show yourself where your problem really is and do the work to overcome it. And number two is, it is not other people's job to make us feel secure. And this was a big one that I really had to learn. And it's so force-fed to us from a young age, and especially today in the world of Instagram, we're constantly shown posts like, find someone who makes you feel secure and find someone who fulfills your needs and makes you feel good enough. And while of course we all have wants and preferences about the type of person we want to be with and the way we want to be treated, and you know, we get to go and find a person who matches those wants, when we get into relationships believing that it's the other person's job to make us feel secure and good enough and worthy and valuable, We again feel totally powerless over how secure and worthy we get to feel on a day-to-day basis, because their action or inaction could completely take it all away at any moment. And the second thing is, we then turn up to our relationships with these long, detailed lists, ones we're not even conscious of the ways we need them to behave in order to take care of our emotions and make us feel good, which I refer to as our manuals for other people. And I had a lot of manuals for my ex. She had to text me every morning and every night and check in with me every hour of the day. And her messages weren't allowed to be short. I preferred long, thoughtful messages with emojis. And I wanted her to like all of my Instagram pictures and initiate sex with me as often as my brain had decided was the right amount. And I had all these expectations and silent demands of what she needed to do to prove to me that she liked me and that I was good enough and lovable. And I made her not doing these things mean something terrible. I made it mean that she didn't care about me, that she didn't like me, and that she was getting ready to leave me or abandon me. And all these thoughts I had, I just believed without questioning. And they were things that were totally untrue. And as I said, there's nothing wrong with enjoying these kinds of things from your partner. But if you believe your partner has to do them for you to feel okay, and that your emotions that day are hanging on whether they do them or not, you're likely feeling very anxious and insecure in your relationships, and you're likely constantly monitoring and reading into all of their behaviour. And the craziest part was, even when I did convince my ex to do these things, it still didn't quiet the little voice in my head that was committed to believing she didn't care and that I wasn't good enough. And she was probably sat there doing these things from a place of obligation and resentment because she didn't really want to be doing them, which can't have been fun for her either. But the truth is, it isn't anybody else's job to change their behaviour so that you can believe you're good enough and orchestrate your feelings of security. Security is an emotion created by the sentences in your brain, the thoughts you think about you. And the best news is, you get to feel secure in yourself while allowing the people in your life to show up as their authentic selves. How kind of us to do that, to let people be who they want to be. We are so generous. And, you know, for a lot of my clients, the reason they think they can't feel secure is because they think if their partner is going off them or doesn't want to be with them, then that means they can't feel secure and okay. But the truth is, we can never predict what our partner is going to do from one day to the next. But the way you can create security in yourself, even in the uncertainty of a relationship, is by choosing what you want to think about you, regardless of whether they keep choosing to be with you or not, which I'm going to come back to in a later point. But it still comes down to the same thing. So if you're sat here listening, being like, well, how am I going to feel secure if they're about to break up with me? People could always be about to break up with you. Anything could happen at any moment. But what you make that mean about you, and whether you make that mean that you're not good enough, unlovable, and whether you make that mean something about your future, is totally up to you. But I'm getting ahead of myself. We come on to this later in the podcast. So the solution here is to first of all understand what you're making their behaviour mean that's creating your negative emotion, and why you feel you need them to be different in order for you to feel better. If they did behave in the way you'd like, what is it you think you'd get to think and feel? Understanding these two things is step one. And then we can get to work on questioning your brain's interpretation and helping you see that you can totally feel the way you want to feel without twisting their arm and nagging at them to be someone they're not. Okay, lesson number three, the difference between allowing and resisting anxiety. So this is probably one of the most important of the seven. And again, it's something we're never taught at school. We're never taught what to do with our emotions. And suddenly we're wandering around on the planet with brains in our heads that are constantly chattering away, creating all these kinds of negative emotions and experiences that don't feel great in our bodies. And we end up responding to them in ways that don't serve us. So we feel anxiety or anger or guilt or any other negative emotion in our bodies, and our instinct is to resist it, to push it away, to shove it down. Or maybe we react instantly to those sensations in our bodies. Maybe we slam a door, or we snap, or we send messages that we later regret, or we withdraw from our partner. This is us reacting to the emotion in our body and showing up in ways that maybe we don't like. Or maybe we try and numb out the sensations. We want to distract ourselves from them with alcohol, food, sex, Netflix, anything to distract from those sensations in your body. And this is all because we don't know how to handle the sensations. Nobody ever taught us. And actually, when we do these things and we resist them or react to them or avoid them, we actually intensify the way the sensations feel. We make them 10 times worse. And I did this all the time with my anxiety. I was so afraid of feeling anxious. And when anxiety came over me, I'd resist the hell out of it. I'd feel the sensation of maybe a tight chest starting up or tingling arms or my throat beginning to close. And I would freak out. So I'd urgently try and act my way out of it, usually by asking someone else for reassurance or maybe saying things that I later regretted. And I'd also tense up against the sensations and just be sat there wishing they would go away, which actually made the sensations intensify to the point where I was having a panic attack. So the skill we all really need to learn is how to respond differently to those sensations. How to allow the sensations to be there and not freak out and try and get rid of them. It's so crazy. I remember the first time a coach taught me how to process and allow my emotions instead of fighting them. And it was a totally different experience. I actually realized that the sensations of the emotion weren't actually that bad. It wasn't a spa massage, but they were actually totally manageable. When I wasn't resisting the hell out of them and making them 10 times worse, and trying to escape them, they were actually okay. I could feel them and let them be there with no drama. And because I was willing to feel them and allow them to be there, they moved through me. And my nervous system calmed down and I was able to then stop myself from taking action that I would have later regretted and look at the situation from a more rational perspective and then go on to show up the way I wanted to instead, from a calmer place. And this is one of the skills you'll learn in depth in the group coaching program. And I always get feedback that this skill alone changed their lives and changed the experiences of anybody using it. It really is a game changer. And if you're keen to learn more about it, I actually offer a free processing emotions meditation, which will introduce you to the skill. So I'll put the link to that in the show notes. So feel free to go there and try that out. Lesson number 4 is, fighting your brain and taking it super seriously is half of your problem. And I really, really mean that. Most of us are so fed up of our anxious, insecure brains. And so we beat ourselves up and we judge and shame ourselves. And we take every sentence in our brain as if it's the ultimate truth and take it very seriously. And that really is the thing blocking us from making any changes. Because think about it. If you're taking everything your brain says to you really seriously and you're judging the hell out of yourself and your brain for the way you feel, what aren't you doing? You're not being curious. You're not observing the thoughts as a third party and questioning them. When you believe that you are your thoughts, you're at the mercy of your thoughts. And I'll say that again because it's so important. When you believe that you are your thoughts, you're at the mercy of them. So being able to separate yourself out from your brain and just observe calmly and compassionately the thoughts that are going on in there without judging them, without taking them as the ultimate truth. This is so, so important. Because as long as you have a human brain, it's going to say nonsense things to you a lot of the time. It's going to say unhelpful, untrue things and make huge assumptions, and it's going to have you reacting to things as if they're life or death. So learning to be compassionate but also the firm manager of your brain instead of at the effect of it is the only way of getting back in control and being the one in the driver's seat. We do this throughout the group coaching program, and one of the tools I teach you is called the model. And that helps you really break down what's happening in your brain in any situation and separate the facts from the thoughts about them. So it's one of the best tools I ever learned for managing my own anxious brain, and everyone that comes on the program really loves it as well. So if you join up, that's going to be an amazing tool for you. Lesson number 5 is all thoughts are optional. So, of course, we can't change the facts of a situation. But most of us think that the thoughts we have about the facts of a situation are actually just the facts. And that the only way we could possibly think about that situation is in that one default way that our brain has offered to us, even if that default way is super, super painful. But for every situation, there's at least 1,000 ways of how you could think about it. And the way you think about it will create your emotional experience of it and how you then show up to deal with it. And so I'll return to an early example of how my brain used to make my ex not texting me back, but posting on social media. I used to make that mean that she didn't care about me. My brain thought that was the only possible explanation and it felt terrible. And it had me showing up to the relationship in ways that really didn't serve me and that were not productive or useful and not very caring and nice. I wasn't being the girlfriend I really wanted to be. And my brain really believed that that thought was the only thing I could think about it. But in reality, if I'd have paused to question that thought a little more, I would have actually considered that maybe it wasn't true. Maybe there was another explanation for why she was posting on social media but not replying to me. Maybe she could totally still care about me and just be enjoying posting selfies with her friend. Maybe her posting wasn't a rejection of me at all and I didn't need to take it personally. And I would have considered all the evidence that I did have that actually proved that thought not true. All the evidence I had of how she totally did care about me a lot. And, you know, this is what our brains do. Whenever we have a thought and a belief, our brains will always subconsciously be trying to prove it true. So if you believe that you're not good enough and your partner doesn't really care about you, your brain is going to naturally be interpreting all situations through that lens. It's going to be using all situations as a way to prove that true to you and completely dismissing and conveniently forgetting all the evidence that shows that they totally do care and that they want to be in the relationship with you. And the truth was, my insecure thought about what I made this mean was actually only making me show up resentful, anxious, and demanding towards her. It created so much disconnection and so many problems that were just totally unnecessary. So learning to become a pro at separating the facts of a situation from what you're making them mean and challenging your brain's default thought is one of the most important skills to learn. Just because you think it doesn't make it true. And instead of letting your default anxious brain make the decisions, you can choose intentionally how you want to think and feel about something and choose how you want to respond. So moving on to lesson number 6, what you're afraid of is actually always an emotion. So a lot of my clients come to me with really anxious thoughts like, what if they cheat on me? What if they break up with me? What if they're mad at me? And they think that the problem is that that thing could happen. So they spend their mental energy trying to control whether it happens or prevent it from ever happening. But no matter what the thing is that you're afraid of happening, your brain is always obsessing over it because of how it predicts you will have to think and feel if it happens. So I'll say that again. Whatever that circumstance is that you're afraid will happen, what you're actually afraid of is an emotion you imagine you will feel if that situation happened, if that were to take place. Now, that's not me suggesting that we can just simply change our thoughts and feel completely fine and happy if somebody cheats on us. Of course not. But getting curious about what it is exactly that you are most afraid of, what experience is it that you're most resistant to if that happened, will help you see where your power is. So, for example, what are you most afraid of feeling if they do cheat? We cover this in the group coaching program, but I teach that there's two types of emotional pain. So there's the intentional pain we want to feel about a certain thing happening, and I call this clean pain. So, for example, if someone cheats on me, I probably want to feel hurt and sad and disappointed. And if I choose to end the relationship, I'd want to mourn and grieve it ending. These are emotions that are part of my 50-50 of positive and negative experiences on the planet, and I wouldn't want to feel anything but those emotions. I want to have negative emotion about that. And so for some of my clients, the work is actually being willing to go through negative emotion in life, being willing to experience this clean pain that's, you know, appropriate or that we want to opt in on as part of our reaction to a circumstance happening. But for 99% of my clients, it isn't actually the fear of the clean pain, the intentional pain, that keeps them up at night. It's actually what I call dirty pain, which is the unnecessary, unintentional, added pain that we heap on top of ourselves in these situations. And there's a few kind of categories for dirty pain. One is when we make a situation mean something about us. So we make the circumstance of them cheating mean that we're not good enough or we're not attractive enough. Or two is we make it mean something about our future. Maybe we've decided if they cheat, it means we're never going to find anybody else like them and we're going to be miserable forever and die alone. And number three is resisting the reality of it happening. So if it were to happen, we'd be telling ourselves this shouldn't be happening. It wasn't supposed to be this way. This wasn't how it's supposed to go. And we kind of resist the fact that this is our reality. And you know, what really fueled my relationship anxiety was a hell of a lot of dirty pain. So I believed that if someone broke up with me, it would prove just how unlovable and not good enough I was. And that it was going to be really difficult for me to go out there and find anybody else for me to have this kind of connection with. So those were the two things that I was making it mean something about me, and I was making it mean something about my future. So of course I was terrified of it happening. My entire worth and value and my entire future happiness was riding on this person continuing to want to be with me and choose me and be faithful to me, something that I couldn't control. So really think about that. If your entire worth and value and your entire future happiness is riding on something completely out of your control, of course you're out of your mind with anxiety. Of course, that makes total sense. So the solution to these scary what-if thoughts and those scary situations that keep you up at night isn't convincing yourself that they won't happen. It's understanding what the monster under the bed is, what it is you're actually afraid of if it did happen, and then facing that head on. So either challenging whether you could handle the clean pain and get through it, and actually coaching your brain on believing that you can totally handle negative emotion if you ever need to and when you ever need to, because it's coming, whenever it occurs in your life. And secondly, challenging the dirty pain beliefs, challenging the beliefs of what you'd make it mean about your worth and value and your future happiness. I love this section of the online course, which you all get access to when you sign up to the group coaching program, because it's probably the part of the program that's the most empowering. It's knowing that no matter what happens, you will be okay and have your own back, and not making anybody else's choices mean anything about you or your future. I have goosebumps even talking about it. So good. Okay, and then finally, lesson number seven. It is never about them. It is always about you and your thoughts about you. So this is one that you might feel called to argue with me about, because I know it feels like it is about them. But your relationship anxiety, I promise you, is actually never about them. We think we're anxious because they don't like us, or they might leave us, or they've not texted us back yet. But other people and the relationships in your life are just green screens. And you're actually projecting all of your own insecurities and self-doubt onto them. And then we use the behaviors and actions of other humans to internally debate how good enough we are, how interesting enough, fun enough, attractive enough, or whatever enough. But somebody rejecting you and not wanting to be in your life is only a problem because of what you make it mean about you. And it's always your own self-rejection that's causing your pain. And I did this all the time in both friendships and romantic relationships. But for example, in my friendships, I'd make somebody not texting me back or not wanting to hang out with me mean that I wasn't good enough or likable. I made that potential rejection mean something terrible. And I used it to prove the mean beliefs I had about myself true, that I was a loser and not likable and not as good as other people, not as interesting and fun as other people. It was how I was rejecting myself that was so, so painful. Your relationship anxiety is really just a mirror of your own relationship with yourself. And I'll say that again for the people in the back. Your relationship anxiety is just a mirror of your own relationship with yourself. And if your relationship with you isn't a good one, if you're constantly doubting how likable, fun, or worthy you are, if your inner dialogue isn't a very nice one, of course your relationship with others is going to feel very frightening, because you're going to be on red alert and anxious all the time about everything they do or don't do, because you're going to be using everything as a way of proving to yourself how not good enough you are. You're going to naturally take everything personally and continue to reinforce these mean beliefs about you. And this is another important part that everyone learned in the group coaching program. What they think about you and how they respond to you, and whether they want to date you or whether they choose to cheat on you or whether they don't invite you somewhere or whether they don't want to hang out with you, that is never about you. I know it feels like it is, but it isn't. What drives their action is their own brain, their thoughts that create their feeling that drives their action. And you do not control the way somebody thinks about you. One person could meet you and have thoughts about you that you are amazing and want to hang out with you. Someone else could meet you and have thoughts about you that you're not that interesting or fun and not want to hang out with you. But as long as you're basing what other people think and how they act towards you as a guide of what you get to believe about you, you're always going to feel anxious in your relationships. So this is another important part of this work and is part of the steps to overcoming your relationship anxiety, probably the most important. You have to be willing to work on changing your thoughts about you. And that can seem very big and overwhelming. You've been thinking about yourself this way probably for decades. How the hell do you just change the habit of a lifetime? How do you create more self-esteem and confidence? It sounds so vague and out of reach. But do not fear. This is exactly what you're going to learn in Master Your Relationship Mind Drama, my 12-week group coaching program. Everything I've talked about on this podcast are all important parts of the program. And you will learn to not only meet yourself where you're at and understand your own brain, but also learn the concrete tools needed to get you from A to B, to get you from where you are now to where you really want to be. And I created this program to help people who are feeling anxious and insecure in their relationships and who generally just feel out of control with their own brains, just like I did. Maybe you're constantly overthinking and worrying about the future of your relationships and feeling jealous and insecure and trying to predict and control how everyone else is going to think, feel and act. Maybe you're spiraling in scary what ifs. Maybe you're fearing rejection, which means you're not able to set boundaries and keep people pleasing everybody in your life because you're so afraid you're going to lose them. You're not really being present and enjoying your relationships. And if you're anything like me, relationships are really important to you. You really value having amazing friendships. You really value having a connected relationship with your partner. Or if you're single, you want to create an amazing, loving, connected relationship with someone. And this relationship anxiety is getting in the way of that. So if this sounds like you and you resonate with a lot of my content and posts, this program has been designed to help you finally get to a place where you can feel confident and secure, no matter what other people say or do. It's going to help you learn to manage all of your negative emotions, including your anxiety, and not let them take over your life. It's going to help you show up as the trusting, confident, and loving partner or friend that you really want to be. And it's going to help you stop spiraling in scary what-if thoughts because you know you can handle anything life throws at you and feel like you call the shots with your brain instead of letting it be the boss of you. And most importantly, it's going to help you create unconditional love and compassion for yourself as the imperfect, messy, amazing human that you are. A lot of people who end up coming to me for coaching have done therapy and know all about attachment styles. And they're just like, okay, I get it. I know what my problem is, but how the hell do I change this? And this really is where coaching and specifically the tools I'll share with you are going to be so powerful, because they're concrete ways of actually rewiring your brain's thought patterns and creating new default ways of thinking about yourself that can create confidence and security. And this isn't about pie in the sky affirmations. In order for us to actually change our thought patterns, we have to believe the thought. We have to believe it in order for it to stick. So it's about questioning your current beliefs and then showing your brain alternatives and then committing to practicing new thoughts and beliefs that do feel believable to you and true to you. And for some of my clients, this means going from negative beliefs about themselves just to neutral. Going from negative to positive can feel like the Olympic long jump. Sometimes we can only go from I'm a loser and nobody likes me to it's possible there are some people that like me, or it's possible there are some likable things about me. And that's okay. That still feels a hell of a lot better and is a small step in the right direction. So this program is going to walk you through it all. So if you feel very overwhelmed and like you just don't even know where to begin with this work, this program is going to be here to really help break it down for you into weekly segments and help you tackle each piece of this puzzle one at a time. So let me tell you a little bit more about what's included. Once you sign up, you'll be sent a form that lets me know your time zone and preferences for the weekly call time. And then you'll be put into a small group of no more than 12 people that all share your availability so that you can meet at the same time each week. So each weekly session will be 90 minutes and it will feature half an hour of me teaching you a particular tool or concept and then 1 hour of hot seat coaching where you'll learn both from raising your hand and being coached yourself and watching others with brains just like yours being coached. You're also going to get access to my online course, Relationship Anxiety 101, which is 8 modules with mini teachings, recordings, exercises to help you keep going and put this work into practice and learn to become the coach of your own brain. And you're going to get added to a Facebook group where you can come to me directly for support and feedback in between the sessions and get to know the other people in the program and support each other along the way. And finally, as a bonus, you also get 3 one-on-one calls with me across the 12 weeks, so 1 each month of the program. And I am beyond passionate and excited about this program. Each time I run it, I'm just so blown away by the results each member creates. But I want to be really clear when I say that coaching is not a magic wand. I am not a sorcerer who can magic away your relationship anxiety while you sit there and do nothing. And the clients that come to this program and create amazing results are the ones who genuinely are willing and ready to put in the effort and do the work. So if this is you, I would be so happy to have you join us. Doors close on Sunday at midnight and we're going to begin the first week of May. I'll put the link to sign up in the show notes, so go ahead and click there to find out all the details and to grab your spot. And if you have any questions about the program, you can also email me at Rebecca, which is spelled O-R-E, coaching.com. So Rebecca@RebeccaOrCoaching.com. I'll also put that email address in the show notes. So head there if you have some burning questions that you want me to answer. Okay, guys, that's all I've got for you today. I hope to see some of you in the 12-week program and I'll speak to you all next week. Bye.
If you're loving this podcast, you can also hang out with Rebecca on Instagram and TikTok at Rebecca Orr Coaching. Don't forget to sign up to her email list for exclusive freebies and for more information on her one-to-one and group coaching programs.